والكرامة بيت الله هنا والفضل
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is 21 minutes past 8. You are listening to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. I am Yusuf Asmalji. Yes, it is Monday night and we are in our In Focus program. Yes, your weekly program which brings you topics which affect us on a daily basis and in our lives. And alhamdulillah, this evening we are talking about Imam Mahdi. A topic, to be honest, we all know very little about. A topic which there's a lot of speculation about. There are a lot of myths about this topic. There are also a lot of predictions. There are a lot of beliefs around this topic. And alhamdulillah, this evening we are fortunate to have Mufti Ilyas in our studios, and Mufti Sahab will be taking us through this topic of Imam Mahdi and dispelling some of the myths, some of the beliefs. And if you have any questions, it is a phone-in program, so you can call into our studios and speak to Mufti Sahab about any of your queries or anything that you'd like to clarify. But as Maulana Mahmood very rightfully said before we came on, that listen a bit into the program, because there may be information that you'd like to question before you have any other questions. So Mufti Sahab may be answering those questions as he goes along. And the number to call into our studios is 854-6854. That's 854-6854. Or fax us on 854-702405. Or email us on info@radioislam.org.za. And inshallah, we'll be breaking at about 9 o'clock for our news bulletin, and then taking us up to 9:30 back with In Focus on the topic of Imam Mahdi. Without taking up too much time, I'm going to hand us over to Mufti Ilyas. As I told him that, Mufti Sahab, I'm going to be doing very little of the talking tonight, and inshallah Mufti Sahab will take over from here.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The topic that we have chosen about Imam Mahdi, first of all, we as Indians should get the word right of Mahdi. The word is Mahdi, the rightly guided one, the guided one, and not Mahdi or some other coloring, etc., that we generally use. Before we actually get down to describing who is going to be the Mahdi, or the signs of the Mahdi, his features, few remarks concerning the whole topic, then we can proceed. Firstly, the word Imam. Our scholars, our elders, they used this word Imam before Mahdi. And nowadays there are some who say that we should not be using this word Imam, and their reasoning also is quite valid. However, let us now just look at this word Imam for a while. Imam basically means a guide, a leader, one in front, one who is in command, and an authority, an expert, a reliable person. Because when we talk of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, and we have used the word Imam there. Now when we say Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, we mean that he was an imam in jurisprudence, in fiqh. Imam meaning that he was a authoritative person in jurisprudence, authoritative expert in jurisprudence. So there, that word imam will mean that a reliable, authentic authority in that particular field. For example, we say Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Now when we are using the word imam before Bukhari, or we are using the word imam before Muslim, then we are saying that imam means there that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh is a authority in hadith, in the science of hadith, in the field of hadith. He is a authority, is an expert. Now, the as far as the science of Kalam is concerned, we will have Imam Maturidi rahmatullah alayh, Imam Abu Musa Ashari rahmatullah alayh. Here we are saying that Imam Musa Abu Musa Ashari rahmatullah alayh, he is an expert authority, a reliable expert authority in the science of ilm kalam, in the science of beliefs. He is an aqaid, he is an expert. And when we talk of the imam of the masjid, the one who leads the salat in the masjid. And the Shias, when they talk of an imam, they have got a special connotation. They have got a different meaning to imam, and they have got a whole set of beliefs which they term as imamology. And when they discuss, they say, you know, the imam, he gets wahi, meaning he gets divine revelation, and the imam can make halal haram, or haram halal, and the imam knows the unseen. And if you had to visit an imam, then he will be able to tell you which road you used, or what did you eat before coming. And the imam knows where and when he's going to die, and how he's going to die. And the imam does not have a natural birth, but is born from the thigh of his mother. So they have got certain beliefs attached to the word imam. So in those days, when our elders used the word imam before Mahdi, at that stage Shiaism was not extremely apparent or flourishing. These days, because the Shias want to promote and propagate their concept of imamology, because their Shiaism is based upon imamology to a great extent, therefore we should try to avoid using this word imam when it is especially attached to Mahdi, because the Shias themselves have got their own concept of Imam Mahdi. They say that there were 12 imams, and the 12th imam, he had two occultations, or say he had two periods where he disappeared. One was minor and one is major. Minor one, he came back, spoke to the few people, and then he went away into a cave. And he, this imam in hiding, or this hidden imam, or this unseen imam, of the, is the 12th imam of the Shias, and he will come down one day out of that cave, meaning he is alive there. We from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we do not have that concept of Imam Mahdi. And as the sessions proceed, we will explain and elaborate, also deliberate on the various descriptions of Imam Mahdi. That is one point. Second thing is that generally after a Nabi, we say alayhi salam, after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ulama ikram have written that this word, or the wordings sallallahu alayhi wasallam, can be utilized for any other Nabi also, but better used for Nabi Akram Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and should be used alayhi salam and sallallahu alayhi wasallam for anbiya, for the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anyone else. Yes, the Shias use it for their imams, etc., which we from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat say that that is not correct. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we say use for the Sahaba, for the companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Certain times we find in classical works and in writings also that the writers and authors say Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Although this is permissible, but at times it causes a little bit of confusion that was Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi a Sahabi or not. But when we learn to just say for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then we demarcate and we have some limits. And rahmatullah alayhi we generally utilize for the saints and the pious personalities, confirmed pious personalities who have passed away. Now, in the books you will find that certain writers after Imam Mahdi, they will write radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and some of them will write rahmatullah alayh. Yeah, some ulama say that we should not write anything, because inshallah when Imam Mahdi, when Mahdi comes, then when he passes away, those after him or those who are living while he has passed away, they will decide how to pray for him and how to make a salute or make a prayer of peace on him. They will decide that. Concerning Hazrat Mahdi, we have got now sources to rely on. One is the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here I would like to mention something that understand fully well that Hazrat Mahdi is a person, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is another person, and Dajjal is another person. The general confusion is that, and some unfortunately ignorant Muslims try to propagate this view, that Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam are one and the same person. However, in the light of the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Mahdi is different and Isa alayhi salam is different. And Hazrat Mahdi will come before Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And when Hazrat Mahdi comes, after that Dajjal will appear, and to fight Dajjal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. This sequence we will go through inshallah also. So basically we must understand that Mahdi, Hazrat Mahdi is an individual, a different person. Also at this point we can also say that there were people claiming that so and so is Mahdi and trying to get support. I have been informed that yeah, in South Africa too, someone is claiming that, and somewhere in Pakistan at this very moment someone is claiming that, and in India now and then you get people claiming that, in the Arab states also you get people claiming that they are Mahdi. But we will learn that Mahdi will not have to make the claim. People will recognize him, and there will be certain signs whereby people are going to recognize him. So about Hazrat Mahdi, we get information from the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we will call it information derived from prophetic sources. That's one. And information from prophetic sources that will be truthful, reliable, authentic, and formulates part of our iman. It is part of our iman that Hazrat Mahdi will come, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come, Dajjal will come, Yajuj, Majuj will come. These are all part of our imaniyat, that as a Muslim, we believe in these. Now we have got prophetic sources which I have explained to you, where we are going to derive most of our information from and discuss and explain to you over there. However, there are non-prophetic sources which I term as predictions. And prophetic sources we will call prophecies. The prophecies of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we must make a differentiation between prophecies of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and predictions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophecy is related to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That our Nabi Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prophesies certain things are going to happen. Then we see it, these are happening. And when I read them out to you, and you will be able to confirm that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago stated that these events are going to take place, and they are taking place. As far as predictions, these are non-prophetic. Predictions we divide into two. One, Muslim predictions, that means predictions from some pious people, and non-Muslim predictions, that means non-Muslim predictions from some what you call visionaries or soothsayers or astrologists, the names of which, as the discussion goes on, we will explain. And then we got a third source. I explained one is prophecies, secondly is predictions, and thirdly is dreaming. And at this stage in history, Muslims dream a lot. And everybody seems to have some dream or the other, and he wants to relate it and stamp it and have it authorized and pass it on, and confusion arises, especially when people start dreaming and spreading their dreams. I've explained that they were claimants. Claimants, for example, of the old Mirza Ahmad Qadiani, he claimed that he was Mahdi, then he claimed that he was a prophet, etc. And for your information also, that about 30-40 years ago, a person by the name of Maryam Jamila, she wrote a book, Who is Maududi? And in that she explains that Maududi Sahib is the Mahdi. And she enumerated 9 qualities of Mahdi. That means Mahdi will be a complete reformer. And Maududi Sahib at the moment, he is going in that direction. And she had classified, because she had to create someone looking like Dajjal. At that stage in history, she classified Moshe Dayan as Dajjal. However, Maududi Sahib is gone, the Mahdi, he still has to come. And Moshe Dayan, I do not know what is happening to him. Before I go on to describe Mahdi, I will let Brother Yusuf say a few words.
At this stage, I think we're just going to remind our listeners that they can call in to the studio on 854-6854 or fax us on 854-7024. Also email us on info@radioislam.org.za on the topic of Imam Mahdi. I think as the topic progresses, our listeners will also pick up areas which they'd like to question and ask questions about. And also at this point in time, if they have any questions, they welcome to call in. And we will be breaking at about 9 o'clock for a short news bulletin.
Before the coming of Mahdi, or even before the coming of the final hour, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has indicated in the hadiths, in the authentic hadiths, about the signs of the hour. Here, understand that what we say there are two types of signs. One is major signs and one is minor signs. I will be mentioning many minor signs, and the first major sign will be the coming of Hazrat Mahdi. That's the coming of Hazrat Mahdi. That's the first major sign. After that, subsequent events will take place, the various battles which we'll explain, and then coming of Dajjal, appearance of Dajjal. After that, descending of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and then Yajuj, Majuj, etc. Now the minor signs that we talk about, for example, fornication becoming widespread. This you and I know, that adultery and fornication has become widespread to such an extent that people do not even recognize the sin as to be sin. People begin to cheat in weighing of goods. Unfortunately, this is happening, and this is happening on a large scale now. Then people withhold payment of zakat. Zakat is due upon them, but they do not pay it, and they do not benefit the poor, they do not aid the poor. And you will have corrupt leaders who misappropriate funds. We have leaders who are not worthy. We have those who have been given positions of power because of their influence and wealth. And people will want to become famous because of want of fame and glory and power. There will be many trials and tribulations. Murder will become rife. Killing of innocent people will become rife and the order of the day. When any gain is shared, then the rich and the wealthy will share it. They will not give any gain or benefit to the poor. When a trust, when someone is being given a trust, then it becomes a means of making profit. So people in trustworthy positions misuse their trust, misappropriate the funds, and unfortunately swindle the funds and utilize it for their own whims and fancies. When zakat payment, as I explained, becomes a burden, and the person does not want to give out his zakat, although in the light of the Sharia, if he gives out his zakat, then he will become even more wealthier and he'll be able to help the society and locality. When a man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother, most of the social problems, unfortunately, these days rotate around that. Then a person, he begins to listen to his wife totally, in totality. We are not saying here that don't listen to the wife, but we are saying that strike a balance, a healthy balance, a cordial balance, and you must know where to draw the line so that you keep your wife happy and you also gain the pleasure of the mother. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stressed so much right and respect and honor for the mother. But these days, unfortunately, many a home is broken because the husband, he sides with the wife in totality. Unfortunately, this leads to difficulty, eventually divorce or breakup of the home. And a person treats his friend kindly while shunning his father. On one hand, he listens to the wife and leaves the mother. On the other hand, he gives preference to his friends over respecting and revering his father. This also you will see thrive. And all this Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, respected listeners, that he said so long ago. And we can see it. At that time when he said it, sometimes Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala questioned him that will it be so? And he said definitely, it will be so, even when we are performing our salat and we are looking externally as pious. When voices are raised in the masjids. Now this has become very common, unfortunately, that voices are raised in the masjid, shouting in the wuzu khana is so frequent that it is unreal. And if we see, especially during Juma times, that voices are raised in the wuzu khanas to such an extent that every imam practically has to keep shouting and say to the musallis that you are making too much noise. Then after salat, some unfortunately in masjids you find brothers sitting deliberating, discussing, laughing and joking in the masjid and raising their voices and shouting. And now also unfortunately we find that masajids where poetry is being recited, then we have a lot of those who are sitting around that person who is reading the poem. Half of them don't even understand what that poet is saying, but they go on and they think they are in some Qawwali show and they are shouting and coaxing the person reciting the poetry to read on, to read more, and shouting at him. Here also that sometimes you find the Qur'an, the Qari is reciting the Qur'an, and people, they also go out of control and begin to shout and scream in the masjid and coaxing the person who's reciting the Qur'an. And the person reciting the Qur'an, sometimes he's reading passages that wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that lanat upon, curse upon the liars, and curse upon the cheats, and curse upon the adulterers, or curse upon those people who are going into Jahannam. And the people around there, they go on shouting, coaxing the reader. And coaxing the reader that he must say more. That means he must carry on saying that all this, they do not understand Arabic, coaxing the person. This comes under the ambit of raising unnecessarily the voices in the masajid. Must remember the masjid has a special role, and there are certain things which we cannot do in the masajid. Now Ramadan will come, i'tikaf time, the people sitting in i'tikaf, they generally sit while when all the musallis are gone, making a lot of noise in the masjid. This is not the purpose of i'tikaf. When the leader of a people is the worst of them, we see many places too, in many organizations, in many institutes, and in many places of trust, that the leader, he comes there by sheer force and tactics and manipulation, and he is the worst of the people. When people treat a man with respect because they fear some evil he may do, this is so common that it is unreal, and the imams of the masajid, they'll bear witness to this, because they have become like the slaves of the trustees. And the trustees, most of them, they don't deserve the post because they don't understand the trusteeship of the masajids or the madrasas, etc. And the poor imam, every time he sees a trustee, he has to look down and bow down and salute. So this is exactly what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that the man has to respect someone out of fear that that person may harm him if I do not greet him. And you'll find people complaining about this, that what kind of imam, he never greet me, I'm trustee of the masjid. So the person becomes trustee of the masjid because he wants the imam to salute him as soon as he sees him. After giving salam in the Faraz Salat, then he must salute the trustees. And why? With the fear that he may lose his job. Yes, also, unfortunately, the imam, he cannot say what he wants to say, because perhaps it goes under the against the grain of the trustee, and the trustee may just decide to relieve him of his post. The poor imam is left alone. When much wine is drunk, this also unfortunately is happening amongst the Muslims, and in certain countries they say no, that we have to have this wine and alcohol and liquor in the house. We get foreign guests and we get non-Muslim guests, and wealthy businessmen, etc., in their luxurious offices, they keep this wine and they keep alcohol. They say no, we have reps from foreign, and we have reps from other countries. And then when they go out also, when wine, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, when wine it will be drunk. And they will go to the restaurants, taking their non-Muslim friends there, we will have to go to a restaurant where there is wine being served. When you question them, they say, no, that place only sells fish. And silently or softly they say, and wine. Wine for the non-Muslim. I am only eating fish, and only taking some soft drink, the hard drink the other person is doing, the other person is taking. When men wear silk, this has become popular also. In fact, men wearing silk in some other narrations also about men imitating women and women imitating men, and men wearing gold. Gold, I do not know why men want to wear this. And also the comb of Lut, alayhi salam, one of their reasons for the destruction was that the men folk should dress like ladies, that the men folk should dress like women. And these days youngsters are dressing like women and walking around, and we want to make jihad and want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend directly upon our heads. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the signs. I'm mentioning the signs so that we must realize in what conditions we are in, and how close we are to the time of Mahdi. How close we are to that time. When female singers and musical instruments become popular, there is not a home, unfortunately, and you will find the person standing in the front surf of the in the masjid, but in his house there is music. And children are listening to all types of music. And in the car, instead of having kirat and nazams and naats and some beneficial lectures, etc., they will have music blaring away and blasting away. And this is so true that in every place, unfortunately, music, the instrument of shaitan, is drowning the people, and people are becoming so involved with this, losing their money, losing their time and energy behind music. And it is the Western plot, the plot of the kuffar, to turn us into lovers of music. And this has even reached indirectly into the masjid. How it has reached indirectly into the masjid, that practically every masjid, when you enter, there are signs there, put your cell phone off. And in some masjid, the imam, after every salat, is complaining, brothers, why don't you put your cell phone off? And to make matters worse, they will leave the cell phone on and with a musical tone. So in the third rakat of Isha Salat, where the imam is silent and the muqtadis are silent, the musical tone of the cell phone goes off and it's playing there. Now how can the imam concentrate? How can the musallis concentrate? And this person is not ashamed that his cell phone is going off on a musical tone. That remember to put your cell phone on a musical tone, that it is not permissible outside the masjid. Then how you bring it inside the masjid? So, and female singers has become also the order of the day. When the last ones of this ummah cursed the first ones, we see unfortunately people taking pleasure and relish in writing and speaking against the Sahaba Ikram who have passed by and who have earned Jannat, who Allah is pleased with. And also you'll find people writing against them, speaking ill against them, and all of them will say, no, we are very big scholars and we are research scholars and we are academics and we are doing this in the spirit of research. And the whole process, they destroy their iman and go to the brink of kufr. Now when this happened, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person should desire that he be under the earth than upon the surface of the earth walking around. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about when people begin to hesitate to give charity, they give charity reluctantly, and adultery becomes widespread. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about those who about intermingling of sexes and looseness, immodesty, music. All these things Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. So basically we can see from what we have just heard that the time is ripe and the time is near. And now when we come back after the news break, we will start mentioning the description and the qualities of Hazrat Mahdi, because the minor signs which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of, we see this happening daily. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, has stated that people will be dressed but naked. We are informed that there are certain clothing females are wearing and walking around, that firstly because of its tight fitting, secondly because of its transparency, and thirdly they're not even dressing. Like one brother stated that they forget to dress and come out. So naked they come out, pornography becomes the order of the day, gambling increases, utilization of interest, and to such an extent the hadiths talk that there will not be a person who will not be affected by the smoke of interest, meaning that the contamination and the influence of interest will be so great that not an individual will be able to save himself from the horrors of interest. Music is on the rise, everybody knows this, and every youngster, unfortunately, most of the youngsters are getting involved in this. So as parents and elders and as guides of the society and responsible members, we should realize that these signs must not be on us, which be those who respect the parents, who respect the mother and the father, and also keep the wife happy, and stay away from alcohol, stay away from liquor, stay away from music, stay away from adultery and fornication. We should try to become good Muslims, because at this stage, everybody is talking of Mahdi. But are we ready that if he has to appear, are we ready to join him, be with him, interact with him, aid him in his cause? That we should worry about.
Hey, Mufti Sahib, you know, just listening to these signs, I think these signs, from all that you mentioned, they all are so prevalent. They're not upon us. They're so prevalent that Allah save us from these things, and that we stay away from these evil doings. Unfortunately, it is there, it's reality, it is happening. But we should keep making dua that Allah saves us from that. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to have a short news break and then carry on with our program on Imam Mahdi. Focus with Mufti Ilyas. And the number to call in and the topic we are discussing is Imam Mahdi. And we know that this topic is, I wouldn't say new, But we need to have more information on what we are talking about. But if you'd like to call us, you can call us into the studio at 854-6854 or fax us on 854-702-405 or email us at info@radioislam.org.za. And inshallah, Mufti Sahib will carry on with the next session.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So far we have mentioned a small discussion on the word Imam and how we should make dua, and also some minor signs. And these minor signs, as explained, are prevalent. We are seeing it around. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that how can a nation perish? Meaning, how can a nation be destroyed who has me, that means Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the beginning, Mahdi in the middle, and Masih, that means Isa alayhi salam, at the end. About Hazrat Mahdi, we now go on to some descriptions and some concrete facts, reliable documentation. The name and title. Mahdi's name will be same as that of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning Muhammad. So the name of Mahdi will be Muhammad. In some parts of the world, very easy to differentiate those who are the false claimants, and they say that they are the Mahdi. They have different names. And here, according to the Hadith, the name of Hazrat Mahdi will be Muhammad. And Mahdi's father's name will be Abdullah.
Just one question before you go on. We're saying that he will be a normal person like you and I. Is that correct?
Definitely.
And he will be born normally, he will lead a normal life, but his name will be Muhammad.
Yes.
And he will not do the claiming. People will recognize him. Is that correct?
Yes. And we will explain. I'm happy you are saying this, because you must realize that Mahdi is not going to be someone from out of space or some alien,
supernatural
being. And we are human being, born naturally, growing up naturally. Yes, as we are going to explain, that the birthplace of Hazrat Mahdi will be in Medina. Now, when his birthplace will be in Medina, the whole idea of describing in detail about Hazrat Mahdi will be and is so that, first of all, we know about our belief, our Aqeedah, and what is the standpoint of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And also, we must know his description so that we can differentiate and recognize the false claimants. Everyone, especially in the political atmosphere, would like to be Mahdi or claim to be Mahdi. As explained, now his name is going to be Muhammad. Father's name Abdullah, and according to some hadiths also that his mother's name will be Amina. His title will be Al-Mahdi, meaning the guided one. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also indicated that he will be known as the Khalifatullah, meaning the deputy of Allah, or the one, like how the Khulafa'i Rashideen, they practiced, implemented, executed, exercised Islamic law. He also will come and he will do the same, implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implement the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mahdi will be from the tribe of Quraysh and from the family of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. The offspring, he'll be from the offspring of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember, Hazrat Fatima had two sons, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. And Mahdi will be from the lineage, progeny of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Mahdi will have the character and the morals of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some traditions, that in one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant him unique qualities of iman, taqwa, piety, qualities of leadership and ilm. That is why some scholars have said he's been given the title of Mahdi, the guided one. Overnight, these qualities will come into him, the qualities of taqwa, qualities of iman, strength, strong iman, and qualities of leadership and knowledge. As stated, that birthplace of Mahdi will be in Medina. Now we go to his...
Before you go on, we said here that he is going to be called the Khalifullah, meaning the deputy of Allah. So can you make the statement, or can we say that he will be second from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that sort of just not a proper thing to say?
No. How are you presenting?
How do you explain deputy of Allah?
A deputy of Allah, meaning that one who is going to enforce the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who is going to implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Khalifatul Ard, that when addressing the Malaika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke that He is going to create a Khalifa on earth, meaning a deputy on earth. We should not imagine that the Khalifa will be in physical appearance like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, He's come here, He'll be a human being, a normal human being, to implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the word Khalifatullah. And his physical features, we go to, he will have a broad forehead with not much hair on the front of his head. And the bridge of his nose will be raised. Meaning that when we look at him, or any person looking at him, will realize that he has got a broad forehead and the front portion of his head not much hair. And the bridge of his nose will be raised. Now, so much description is being given about his name, title, family lineage, character, personality, birthplace, physical features. Why all this has been done? So that one can differentiate and one will be able to recognize who is the Mahdi, and when he appears and when the claim is being finalized, we'll be able to make out who is the Mahdi and who is not the Mahdi. Now, there are certain signs I've mentioned to you already which will appear before the coming of the Mahdi or before the hour. But now there are some signs which are directly linked to the coming of Mahdi. that will be that the world, the entire world, will be filled with injustice and oppression. Now, as I mention these signs, you, as the listeners, can make out, and you'll be able to make out how close we are to the period of the Mahdi coming. And these signs, when we read them and when we think about and ponder, we come to realize that whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated is haq, is truth, and we can see the prophecies of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam materializing. There will be widespread evil in which all people will be heavily involved. If we look at most of the population of the world and the sins which are in Muslim countries and their people will have become so weak that even animals will defeat them in battle. Unfortunately, we can see that the state and the condition of the Muslim countries throughout the world, and we can see their behavior, what they are producing, and how they have been treated by the enemies of Islam. Muslims will be totally disunited, hence their state of weakness. Here again we can see locally and in your own towns and cities and provinces how unfortunately we Muslims are disunited, and we cannot create unity for one set given purpose. On the other hand, it is stated that the kuffar, meaning the Jews and the Christians of the whole world, will be united under one leader. They'll be united under one leader. Their rule will spread over the entire world and will reach as far as Khaybar, a mere 100 miles from Medina. Such would be the dominance of the kuffar during that era. Now, if we see in our given circumstances and political scenario that the world is trying to, the kuffar world is trying to, let alone unite the kuffar world, but in the same breath bring in the Muslims to unite with them, let alone uniting themselves, but to create unity even amongst the Muslims and getting the Muslims to side them in their evil perpetrations and their evil designs against any person who is trying to be a good Muslim or implement the Shariat of Islam or please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And they are making a definite, concerted, united effort to try and destroy the frontiers of Islam and the tenets and pillars of Islam. And they have regarded Islam as their number one enemy and have now said things like, you're either with us or you're against us. They are making such claims and statements. The Muslims would also be under severe persecution and oppression from the Khalifa of that time, and they will have no place to run. Unfortunately, we can see that so-called Muslim countries, that in their lands, Muslims are not safe, let alone in the lands where there is a definite orchestrated onslaught against the Muslims. The Ahl Bayt, the family of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will experience great difficulties and persecution because they are the ones closest to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the enemies of Islam will persecute them, harass them, put them into difficulty. Throughout the world, earthquakes would occur frequently. And here someone should do some research and find that in the last 10 years, how many earthquakes have taken place, small ones, throughout the entire world. And compared to the other years, we will find what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that the earthquakes, the frequency, they will increase. Innocent people will be put to death. This we see in every place. And I am forced to comment on this, that we find now in Kashmir, we find in Palestine, and now we find in Afghanistan, that innocent children and innocent babies and innocent civilians are being bombarded been killed for no crime, for no offense. And in certain places, for example in Palestine, innocent people are being killed. Yes, they are made martyred and gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have been thrown out of their homes and killed on the street. And now we see in Kashmir also that Muslims are being killed for no reason, to gain their own rights and to live peacefully and to implement the Sharia of Islam and to bring the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Afghanis are being killed, and the Afghanis have been battered around and bombarded for the last 2 weeks now. All so that some so-called justice must be done. A man by the name of Haris Harisa will emerge from beyond the Euphrates River, and before him will be another by the name of Mansur. The former Haris will be preparing the minds of the Muslims to accept Mahdi when he comes. He will perform the same task for Mahdi which the Quraysh performed for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina before Hijrah. Here in the traditions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mention is made of a person called Haris and a person named Mansur. Now Haris and Mansur, what we should be looking out at this stage in history, that are these people in existence, or in the near future we are going to see them. It is compulsory, it will become compulsory and become necessary for every person to help this person called Haris or Aaron to respond to his call, because his call is going to come, and subsequently Mahdi will then emerge to lead the Muslims. The pious and the righteous will be all out of looking out for the coming of Mahdi, knowing that he will be able to bring salvation and safety to the falling Ummah. There will be a fight in Makkah between three people, each one being the son of a Khalif. Khalifa here will mean each son being the son of a ruler or a king. And these three sons will be fighting for leadership of the Muslims. But none of these three will gain the Khilafat or rulership or leadership or kingship. This fight will take place in the month of Zulqadah, and even in Mina during Hajj there will be quarrelling. According to some sources, quarrelling that leads to bloodshed. All this will occur in the same year of Imam Mahdi's coming, of Imam Mahdi's coming and appearance. An army will come from the east towards Arabia. The east refers to Khorasan. In the traditions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this word Khorasan appears. And Khorasan refers to northeastern Iran, which includes the borders of Soviet Union, that means Uzbekistan and Afghanistan. So Khorasan will be referring to northeastern Iran, Uzbekistan and Afghanistan. They will pave the way for the establishment of Mahdi's kingdom. This army will carry black banners. Nothing shall stop their onward march, and eventually they will plant their flags on the soils of Jerusalem. So that what we are saying is very simple, that an army is going to come, and this army is going to come from Khorasan, from what we call now Uzbekistan, some portions of Iran and Afghanistan, and they will come to pave the way for the kingdom or for the empire of Mahdi. This army will be carrying black flags, black banners. Nothing will be able to stop their onward march until eventually they will go to Jerusalem, freeing and capturing once again Masjid al-Aqsa, Baitul Muqaddas, bringing it back into the governorship, guardianship and careship of the Muslims. This army will seek the leadership of Arabia. The current leader will refuse to hand over the Khilafat or the Khalifa. A tremendous, fierce battle will occur, the likes of which Muslims had never yet experienced. The army from Khorasan will be victorious and eventually be granted the leadership. So alhamdulillah, we have now discussed about the signs, the minor signs, and the signs which are closely related to Mahdi himself, and also of the army that is going to support him, and the description of the army, and where that army is going to come from, where it is going to proceed, and eventually be under the guidance of the Mahdi himself.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. I think we're going to leave it at that now. We're almost up with our time, and we will be continuing. Inshallah, next week we're going to be having Sanha in our studios, and thereafter, for the 2 weeks before Ramadan, Mufti Sahab will be carrying on with the topic of Imam Mahdi. So, inshallah, if you do have any questions that come up before that, you can fax it to the radio station on 854-7024. And before I sign off, there's a brother that sent us a fax which does not relate to this topic. However, Mufti Sahab will be in a position to answer that question, but off air. So if you could please call our switchboard number on 854-7022, and Mufti Sahab will attempt to answer that question. From myself and Mufti Ilyas, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ما الصبر للأسى خيره.